10 minutes, and then I'll give time to Mary. I'll do a little introduction for her. And so we're looking at 2 Corinthians. We're kicking off 2 Corinthians, and I'm going to do a little introduction to you because you're going to be reading 2 Corinthians in your devotions, I think starting in March, which is the first day of March begins when?
Thursday,
next Thursday. So by next week, you'll be in 2 Corinthians. That's why I want to give you an introduction. Okay? Where are we? What's the timeline? Where are we? The timeline. We just went through 1 Corinthians. We talked about the planting of the church and all that stuff, which is very timely to have a missionary come to share with us. But where are we? So, what was the tone of the letter in 1 Corinthians? What's the tone of that letter? Was it happy, mad, mean, glad? What was it?
Concerned.
That's a good word. Very concerned because the church in Corinth started to kind of head in the wrong direction, right? They started heading in the wrong direction. And so we have that tone. And then so Paul sends someone to bring the letter because he couldn't go himself. Remember? Okay? Who does he send to go bring the letter to the church in Corinth? He sent, say it, Timothy. Good, very good. He sent Timothy to bring the letter there. Okay? After Timothy brought the letter, then Paul then went to go visit himself. And then afterwards, he went to Ephesus, and then he wrote what's called a very sorrowful, very sad letter that has not been preserved, and we're going to see that in just a moment, okay? Look at some of the text. This is in 2 Corinthians. He says, so I decided I'm not going to bring you grief with another painful visit. That's, okay, I already visited you, right? Because if I cause you grief, who will make me glad? Certainly not someone I've grieved. And then look at what I highlighted. This is why I wrote to you as I did, so that when I do come, I won't be grieved again by the very ones who ought to give me the greatest joy. I wrote that letter in great anguish. Paul was writing a pretty sad, pretty heartfelt letter with a troubled heart and many tears. This is the church planter, pastor. I didn't want to grieve you, but I wanted to let you know how much love I have for you. But it's obviously a very sad letter. And then in chapter 7, verse 8, he writes, I'm not sorry that I sent that severe letter to you, though. I was sorry at first, for I know it's painful to you for a little while. There was another letter before the book of 2 Corinthians. Okay? 2 Corinthians is a letter. There is a letter before that. Which letter was that? No, that was the sad letter. Then he wrote 1 Corinthians, and was 1 Corinthians the first letter he wrote? Remember, we talked about this. No. Let me show you. Here's what happened. Paul planted the church during his second missionary journey. He wrote a first letter to them, pretty rough, responding to the immorality in the church. Then he had a second letter, 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians is the second letter. The first letter, it was very strong. He said it was so strong, and I believe that God purposefully did not preserve that letter for us today. And if the letter was available, I believe it wouldn't have even made it into the Bible. Because it was probably really, really heavy. And it's a part of Paul that obviously did not make it into the Bible. Okay? Then he wrote the second letter that became in our Bible, 1 Corinthians. After 1 Corinthians, he visited them, then the painful visit. And then, as he was writing 2 Corinthians, he was referring to this sad letter. So it wasn't 1 Corinthians, it was this other letter. So 2 Corinthians is the fourth letter. that he wrote to the church, okay? So you have first letter, we don't have it. Second letter, 1 Corinthians. Third letter, we don't have it. So we have the third and the fourth letters, even though we call it, we don't call it 3 Corinthians and 4 Corinthians. We call it 1 and 2, okay? Just to give you guys a little order, a little bit of academic nuggets there, right? Now, what do we remember of this church? Do you remember? What do you remember about the city of Corinth? It was very much like what?
Vegas.
Las Vegas. Or what? Toronto? You said Toronto?
You said LA.
LA. Right? We said San Francisco, New York. I didn't throw Chicago in there. Sorry. You know, didn't make it. But it's definitely a flourishing and rich city. But we know because of all of the trade and all of the different cultures, it was so successful that it had developed a bad reputation. There's a lot of craziness similar to what you would think about in Las Vegas. People do things in Las Vegas that they don't do anywhere else. And going to Corinth, the term for a bad girl in that area would be, oh, you're like a Corinth girl, like a loose girl. There was temple sex. There was the Isthmian Games. It was a very worldly, very successful, materialistic city, very much like L.A. proper, right? San Francisco, these big cities like Las Vegas. The book is separated into three parts. Okay, I'm just going to go through this really quickly. I'm not even going to cover it. Just 1 through 7, 8 through 9, and 10 through 13. We're going to teach on that. But for today, I wanted to let you know that one of the themes of 2 Corinthians we saw in 1 Corinthians, or 2 Corinthians, right? 4 Corinthians.
The second letter.
We were not made by God to die. Don't forget that. When God created mankind, we were not created to die. Death to our bodies came as a result of what? Sin and the fall. We were not created to die. We were created to live in the kingdom of God. And so why does Paul have to remind these people in Corinth why the resurrection is so important? Why in a very materialistic world where money is abundant, where we never get persecuted for our faith, why is that such a big deal? The resurrection of our body will deal a final blow to Satan and his plans. See, Satan from the very beginning wanted to stop God's plan to have this kingdom where God is with his people in perfect harmony and in perfect shalom, which means what? Peace. And Satan wanted to stop that, and that's why sin entered the picture, and he's trying to keep as many people away from the kingdom as he can. But when Jesus comes again, and when there is a new heaven and a new earth, and we are given our bodies will be made new, our resurrected bodies, that will be the final blow to Satan and his plans. Satan, you're done. My kingdom is still established with my people forever. We will be with God forever. We will miraculously be raised back to the life in the new glorified bodies that will be free from death and deformity. We have bodies glorious and powerful. We have bodies that won't sin. We have minds that will understand God for who he is. We talked about that a little bit in 1 Corinthians. But see, the problem was the Corinthians seemed to be satisfied with what Jesus brings them in this life. Because all of us who have been saved, we sometimes get very satisfied. Oh, thank you. Now I know Jesus. Now I can love Jesus. Now I can share the gospel. Now I can enjoy fellowship in the church. And they do not seem to realize that all of this is worthless if we have nothing to look forward to after we die. So I have this statement. Everything, let's read this together. Everything we enjoy here because of Jesus is secondary to the greatest blessing he has given us through his resurrection, eternal life in his everlasting kingdom. Is that true? Everything we enjoy, has God given us a wonderful life here? Yes. We love our families. We love our church brothers and sisters. We love serving him. We love knowing about him. We love the food he gives us. We love our life here. But that really is secondary to the number one greatest blessing, which is forever, because of his resurrection, we will have eternity in his wonderful, beautiful, amazing kingdom. How we were made to be. As I look at Scott this morning, I'm so happy that we will see your father there. That's why it gives us urgency to share the gospel. That's why Scott is always praying, pray for my brother. My brother is so stubborn to the gospel. He's older than me. He doesn't like to listen to me, his younger brother. But he needs to hear the gospel. I don't want to see eternity without my brother there. Right? So, I have two questions and I'll give the time to Mary. Okay? Why do you think the Corinthian Christians might have valued life on earth more than the gift of eternal life? I'll say this in Chinese for some of you who speak. Okay? Can I say this in Chinese? 你觉得为什么在哥林哥的教会信徒他们会比较 value 现在在这世界上的生活 比一个永生的生活更多 为什么? Why? Why do you think they value that? Okay, so talk about it in your groups for like 1 minute. Okay, so get into like little groups of three or four. Okay, two, three, or four, and just talk about that.
Oh yeah, I think.